This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Quick warning before we begin. This episode contains strong language. When Dr. Ruja disappeared in October 2017, her younger brother Konstantin, a tattooed bodybuilder who was her personal assistant, took over OneCoin and carried on where his big sister had left off. On March 6, 2019, Konstantin was at Los Angeles International Airport waiting to fly back to Bulgaria after having attended some OneCoin meetings in the United States. Just as he was boarding his Turkish Airlines flight to Istanbul, Konstantin was pounced on by FBI agents, arrested and charged with money laundering and fraud in connection with OneCoin. As this program airs, Konstantin is in prison in New York awaiting a pre-trial hearing. On the same day, the US authorities charged Dr. Ruja in absentia and declared OneCoin a fraud. Could this be the end of OneCoin? Spoiler alert, no.
This is just the beginning.
Episode 3, More Than Just a Coin.
One family! You're amazing, guys.
In 2014, a 34-year-old business genius called Dr. Ruja Ignatova launched an ambitious new cryptocurrency called OneCoin.
In 2 years, nobody will speak about Bitcoin anymore.
Thank you.
How did you feel when you'd watch her videos?
Oh, my friend. The number one thing to come, where can I get money to make sure I can also be among this revolution?
And the money started pouring in. This song, Join the Financial Revolution, was all about the promise of OneCoin.
OneCoin is not a cryptocurrency. There is no blockchain, and I can prove it.
Well, then prove it to me.
I'll fucking prove it.
In the way that you're speaking, it's disgusting.
I don't give a shit. It's a fucking scam. It's a fucking scam.
People believed they were getting in on the next Bitcoin. But it was all a lie.
A quarter of money. That money. And I gave it to OneCoin.
The woman behind it all, Dr. Ruja Ignatova, has disappeared. And it's starting to look like there's a lot more to OneCoin than we first thought.
What sort of thing were you worried might happen?
Getting shot.
It's early April 2019, and we're meeting Bulgarian business journalist Nikolai Stoyanov at his newspaper offices in central Sofia. You'll remember Nikolai was with us in Sozopol, where Dr. Ruja was last seen in public on her luxury yacht.
I want to just say thanks so much for taking your time.
Nikolai was one of the first to start investigating OneCoin.
Turn here.
And today has agreed to show us some places in Sofia that could be useful for our search.
So we should go this way back. Maybe okay. We can go to the first building which Ruja Ignatova bought.
How many buildings has she bought in the city here?
I think my tour will only comprise of 3 buildings.
One used to belong to the mayor.
It looks a bit like the front of a grand old hotel, literally a stone's throw away from the Parliament building.
And the other had been Sofia's most famous restaurant.
Really a landmark building for Sofia. It's not like buying a new-built house somewhere. It's a property with history and property which attracts public attention.
I mean, it is a stunning building, absolutely incredible, and it's kind of, the front's all sort of, you can't really see it. The front gate's been kind of boarded up with some weird astroturf. I'm quite sad, actually, that it's just not being used.
These properties are worth millions of euros.
There's still a lot of money missing, though, isn't there?
There is. We don't know. Probably they are around the world. I, being a Bulgarian journalist, easily track the property deals in Bulgaria, but we don't know. Probably property was bought also in various places around the world, and we cannot possibly track down that.
It's been a month since the Department of Justice charged Dr. Ruja and her brother Konstantin, which makes the next stop on our tour even more surprising.
Oh. Here it is. OneCoin headquarters. You have the OneCoin logo surround in the bottom of it.
Yeah, the whole building.
Yes, it's six stories.
A six-story, 1,000 square meter building right in the heart of the city. This is where Dr. Ruja ran OneCoin up until her disappearance.
So what is surprising to me, I suppose, after everything that's happened, that there's still a building here with all the logos are still on the building, all the signs, OneCoin on the front door. Is it still being run from here?
Far as I know, yes.
There are people still employees. So the people still are working for OneCoin in there?
I think they are.
I mean, what do you think what the people in that building now are actually doing?
Well, you can consider it like a back office. So all the selling is done in other places. Here it is only technical stuff, the guys who are doing the accounting, the guys who are running their servers, their websites, they're writing press material.
But that's still part of the scam. That's not separate from the selling. Well, that's still maintaining and running this. And
Maintaining that we are a decent legal company, and one of our key persons is under investigation and is suspected in the US. I'm not trying to defend them. I'm saying, what is the story? OneCoin is selling to its investors and probably to its employees.
Okay, well, we can go and see.
I wouldn't want to try and get in.
Can we move away from here for a second?
Nikolai is clearly nervous about going in or even being spotted here. And as for us, we can't believe that OneCoin is still open for business.
So the options are, if we go in...
Georgia and I discuss whether to try to get in because it is right in front of us. But the problem with OneCoin is that we don't really know who we're dealing with.
Well, I don't think we want them to know that we're here, really.
No.
So I'd rather, I think...
For now.
Security guy there. He's the size of a tank.
Let's go back. It exists.
I genuinely thought it was an abandoned building. I didn't think they were going to still be there.
We decide we don't want to blow our cover yet, and that it would be better to return here when we know more. But the office is still open because people are obviously still buying and selling OneCoin. And when we look later that evening on the OneCoin Facebook pages, we're in for another surprise.
So this is on Facebook. This is the OneCoin One Life Facebook page. 15,000 members. Someone's put a poll on there. When will OneCoin Exchange go live? This is one of the great mysteries. The whole thing about OneCoin was that you can buy these coins, and then at some point there would be a public exchange where you could trade your OneCoins for real world money, for dollars or pounds. And the idea was that if you buy loads of OneCoins early, when this exchange goes live, you'll be able to sell them at an enormous profit, like Bitcoin. So people poured all this money in, and for the last 2.5 years, the OneCoin bosses have been saying, oh, the exchange is going to open any minute now, next week, next month, it's just coming, it's next year, hold on, we've had a little problem, but it's definitely coming. So they've got a poll, they've put a poll, when will the OneCoin exchange go live?
This is only yesterday as well.
Yesterday, the most popular answer is April 2019.
That's now. In spite of the fact that the two people that run OneCoin are wanted by the FBI and one of them's been arrested.
And they're wanted for fraud.
I think when Constantine was arrested and Dr. Ridger was named as being wanted by the FBI, no one was going to put any more money into it. Everyone was going to kind of shake their heads and realise that the whole thing was a scam. However, they're going on as if nothing's ever happened. This is ridiculous. The question on my mind is how people can believe unreservedly in something when there are so many unanswered questions. And how can they continue to believe even when the founder has disappeared and the new boss has been arrested? Part of the answer is inside that OneCoin office in Central Sofia. We didn't get in, but we later spoke to someone who spent a lot of time there.
OneCoin called itself the greatest company ever. People still describe it like that.
His words are voiced by an actor because he's worried for his safety.
At its peak, it was about 50 people working in the Sofia office. Rusha's office is on the fourth floor. You never saw her without the gypsy earrings, the gowns, the jewellery, everything. Even when she's just working in the office. Inside the Sofia office, the crypto centre is where members of the One Life Network are allowed to meet members of the Sofia staff who are important. If you're out of favour, they won't let you in. Or they'll keep you sitting there the whole day waiting. It's set up almost like a cathedral. You don't speak out loud, you whisper to each other. It's all set in dark tones, everything is gilded. There was a big cardboard cutout of Rusha. You see people touching it and doing that stupid OneCoin sign like it's an icon. It's gone now because it eventually fell apart because too many people were touching it. Dr. Rusha. Dr. Rusha. The biggest insult that you can give One Life is to say that's not Dr. Rusha's vision.
I believe what makes us different is our vision. We are more than just one coin. We create the world around this coin.
One coin is more than just a coin. It's a family, a revolution, and a brighter future all rolled into one.
I had a paradigm shift when I began studying Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. That opened my mind to, wow, this can really help a lot of people. OneCoin were smart enough to take those elements and incorporate them into the scam.
Timothy Curry, a Bitcoin enthusiast and OneCoin critic, understands how difficult it is to argue with the faithful. Because every day he spends time online trying to warn people about OneCoin, and usually without success.
I made a decision.
This is a scam. Do you understand what I'm saying?
One person he tried to warn was Jen McAdam. You've already heard in episodes 1 and 2 that she'd invested 10,000 euros of her own money and persuaded friends and family to invest 250,000 of theirs. She sent us the video of the two of them arguing in 2016.
I do not believe it is 100% in my heart. I do not believe it is a scam.
When you and I got into cryptocurrency, we had a very similar experience.
The way that OneCoin worked is they reeled you in with these sort of pitches. One of the big early things that they would push is, this is going to bank the unbanked, and this is going to be borderless money. They would pick up little catchphrases that, you know, we had been listening to and enthusiastic about. And since, you know, anyone in cryptocurrency got into it, these were like the selling points for it.
A lot of people who are underbanked, unbanked, or just forgotten by the big players. Why? Because they're poor, because they have needs that are not that interesting in the transactions, or simply because some of these people do not have proper documents.
And then they began building this igloo around you. Rusha is a doctor, double PhD. And they start building this pyramid around, or this igloo rather, around you until it gets up and it's head high. And all of a sudden, it's just an echo chamber and nothing else can get in. There were many cultish things that the company did. The repetitive indoctrination, if you look at the top leaders, the way they dressed, the way that they showed things off, ceremonial things almost, like especially on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen! Ignatova!
Everything from the musical introductions to Ruja to the theatrics, they really did create a worship behind her. People would be like, bless you, Ruja. God bless you. It became worship.
As soon as you buy your first package, you're entered into a OneCoin WhatsApp group. They have many of them, depending on what leader came in under. And that OneCoin leader then starts filtering information down from corporate. If you have any negativity, you should not be in this group. You're told not to believe anything that from the outside world. That's what they call it, the outside world. Haters.
They call it that.
Bitcoiners are haters. Even Google, don't listen to Google.
I find it very interesting the way that groups like this deal with outsiders.
They're evil, they're bad, they're hate. The words that they use is haters. You are brainwashed. It's so cult-like.
Prove anything I've said, ever, anything. Prove any of it wrong, and I give you $100. I swear to God.
Stop harassing people.
Set up a Bitcoin wallet, prove it wrong, I'll save you $100.
You need to stop harassing people, and you need to stop upsetting people.
Did you believe that Tim was a hater?
I thought I've believed it. He was psychologically not very well, because they didn't want us. Tim had so much information that it was quite clear that this was a scam, and their answer was, "They're haters, they're Bitcoiners. Block them, move on." And now that I'm raising awareness of this, they don't see me as a OneCoin investor. They've been told I'm a hater.
And guess what? The things that Jen and Tim described have already happened to me and Georgia.
OneCoin, How to Destruct BBC Propaganda by Jamie Bartlett.
On the day this podcast was released, I appeared on the Victoria Derbyshire programme, which is a current affairs show on BBC Two. Within a few hours, someone had found that footage and edited it together to make me look stupid and claimed that the BBC was running a propaganda campaign against OneCoin.
This Jamie Bartlett is not a serious journalist with ethical practices. It's like a children who want the attention, and it's just for his personal interest. And the factual proof is here. This guy have posted his podcast on Apple. It's crazy. But nobody listen you, except your community totally asleep from Twitter.
How rude. They edited a silly red nose onto my face, Victoria Derbyshire got one too, and started sharing it on their social media channels, adding hashtags like hashtag we love OneCoin and hashtag justice for OneCoin.
Well, I mean, Jen as well, it was a sort of
FFFF. This guy cannot even speak correctly, and he has pretend to have made serious investigation about OneCoin.
They coordinated a mass complaint and flooded the BBC's complaints department even before episode one was released. Anything to undermine us and throw doubt on our integrity.
Thanks you for this serious answer, Jamie. You are a great reporter. We waiting your next incredible working the next another part of your storytelling for the stupid morons who love to watch stupidity on the TV.
It seems silly, but at a time when lots of people don't trust mainstream media and have been told for years that Dr. Ruja is a genius leading an anti-establishment revolution, this sort of thing can actually work. OneCoin is starting to look less like a cryptocurrency and more like a belief system.
I'm Eileen Barker. I'm a professor emeritus at the London School of Economics, and I'm the founder of Inform, which provides information about minority religions. And I've been studying those since the 70s.
Professor Eileen Barker is not an expert in OneCoin or cryptocurrencies, but she is an expert on how and why people come to believe in things that others would consider completely irrational. She spent her life examining Moonies, doomsday cults and the millenarianists who believe that the world will end on a certain day and then carry on regardless when it doesn't. She's found some interesting similarities between what she studied and OneCoin. People just keep investing. And it seems like a strange type of irrationality.
They've invested.
They've invested, yes.
And they're expecting a return. So correct. They're stupid not to hang around till they get the return. I mean, you've got to believe it. The sort of consistency theory, the psychologists would say. Like when prophecy fails, they'll believe more strongly. And particularly if you've invested something, I have invested this. Not only my money, but my belief, my reputation, my intelligence, in a sense. You don't want to lose that. And we wait a bit longer, work for it, go and gather more people. The end is nigh, except the end is sort of wonderful. It's not a terrible apocalypse, but it's when we're all going to be rich and everything.
This group has made a very bold claim that it's not just about making money, that it's going to transform the world of finance and helping millions of poor people around the world.
It's all this sort of messianic millenarian stuff, being part of something that's really big, that's going to change the world. And she's got this stuff about education. Right. Now, it turns out, as far as I can see, that education means educating you to spend more money on me.
Yeah.
But education is a good keyword. They offer something to people. They are getting something out of it. So now, they may not be getting money out of it, but they're getting a sense of belonging. They're getting a sense of achieving, of doing something. It's not just the money. I'm sure of that. I mean, the money plays a big bit in it, and that may bring them in the first place. But why they stay, I'm sure, is because they're getting these other benefits as they see it. And in that sense, it's cultic. And the little bit I've seen of this movement, or whatever we like to call it, they're sort of saying we're part of a family. We belong if we all act together. We've just got to stick together. And we are the big family. Not all so-called cults are like that. I really want to stress, yeah. You can't generalise, but there are patterns of behaviour, bundles of characteristics that you can see, and this certainly fits into that. So I can understand why people think it's cultic.
The leader, let's talk a little about the leader, Dr. Ruja Ignatova. She kind of came out of nowhere, and yet within the space of a year, she is positioned as this incredible visionary. She suddenly goes missing in October 2017, and I would have thought that was the moment at which everyone said, well, it's obvious, isn't it? And all those other things that I'd been worried about, that had been on the back of my mind, it's clear now that the game is up. But no, it just carried on growing, which is staggers me, astonishes me. But
you're not a believer. She has discovered this. She is a very special person, and the world's trying to take it away from her. She's got to protect us as well. She's protecting me because she has got control over my money and my future. She's looking after our interests.
One woman we've spent a lot of time with, it's a very remarkable transformation, I suppose. She buys this stuff, she puts her money into it, she starts recruiting other people. And several outsiders try to talk her out of it. And she says to us, it's like I didn't even hear them.
Well, that's them and us. I mean, we know the truth. They don't understand. You get this with conspiracy theories as well that are built up. You know, people won't understand because it's the truth. They're jealous. And you're just jealous. You're ignorant. You're trying to get me away, and I'm not going to listen to you.
This woman feels so guilty for having recruited her friends and family.
She eats her up. That's very common. She's going to have to take a lot of forgiving of herself.
Here's an uncomfortable truth. Even smart and decent people can be very gullible in the right conditions. People get drawn into movements that promise life-changing experiences all the time. And often, it's not really about evidence or logic, but faith, belief, and hope. And once you're operating on the level of faith, belief and hope, rational arguments rarely work, especially if it's more comforting to keep believing. When Jen finally realised OneCoin was all a scam, she started to warn people.
We had 13 members. And within a few days, we had other OneCoin investors that I didn't know asking to join the group. And 2 years on, we have 7 WhatsApp OneCoin victim support groups covering every continent. And I know that there's a lot of people out there just now that are utterly devastated. It's ripped the hearts out of families and individuals. I mean, I speak to people every day that are suicidal. And this is only the beginning. Most of them are still not aware of the reality. They want to keep their head in the sand. They don't want to hear this because they've gave everything they've got. They've sold their houses, lands, remortgaged. Their lifetime, a savings, gone. Who wants to hear someone say, listen, this is actually a scam? They don't want to hear that. And I understand that. I really do understand that because I was there.
When we approached OneCoin and said that we intend to call them a scam, they responded.
The BBC podcast series is based on testimonials of haters, former employees,
who they say
were either fired or disgracefully dismissed for internal company violations, intellectual property theft and other violations. Thus, the series will not present any truthful information and cannot be considered objective nor unbiased.
In response to the allegation that millions of people around the world who've invested in OneCoin cannot exchange or spend their OneCoin, and that OneCoin continues to promote this coin around the world, even though it's not publicly tradable, they said,
we assure you we will be relieved when the regulatory obstructions constraining people's freedom and trading do not exist. These restrictions are not up to us. We successfully and tenaciously use all legal means to a great extent and utilise them fully to facilitate the enforcement of the greatest possible freedom of trading and exchangeability.
Over the next 5 episodes, we will return to the question of OneCoin's recruitment of investors and their marketing tactics, and we'll give OneCoin the opportunity to respond to our claims about the company. It's quite hard to grasp the scale of OneCoin. OneCoin say they have over 3.5 million members, but that's never actually been proved. Jen has talked about the devastation on families she's spoken to, and it seems widespread. But this just gives a hint as to the size.
I got a text from him on Thursday morning.
Out of nowhere, Georgia received a text message from a source, an insider that we'd been speaking to off the record. He had something incredible to give us. Leaked documents that might help us answer that question.
So are you saying the usernames of all the investors and all the money they've, the amounts of money that they have put in?
And when?
Wow.
This is
this what he gave you? All of this, all these files?
Yeah.
Sales. Wow. So the first bits of investment. So here we go. This is the very, very first sale on August the 11th, 2014. Issuer, Crypto Queen, she's selling it. The speed of growth, 15 million euros, January 2015. Jeez, that's fast. This is unbelievable database, isn't it? This is everything. This is like the inner workings of the whole thing. This 1 week, 30th of May to the 5th of June, 56 million euros in 1 week put into this. That's unbelievable. And look at the scale of the countries. Virgin Islands, India, Switzerland, Malaysia, Brazil, Finland, Kazakhstan, Kuwait, Ukraine, Russia, Norway, Hong Kong, Pakistan, Canada, it's...
It's crossing every continent, isn't it?
Ivory Coast, Yemen, Uganda, Palestine. So that's 1 week and they've made 60 million euros in 1 week. Jesus, 2 million euros invested from the UK in 1 week.
I've added these up, so from the 1st of Jan to the 5th of June, minus so
just,
2 weeks.
So that's just 6 months?
It's coming out as 29 million.
Oh, jeez. 29 million.
The big OneCoin event, which Jen's talked about, yeah, out Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
That was happened after
this.
And so if the last record we've got for the UK is coming in just shy of 2 million for a week, and then they start doing their big push.
Bloody hell. This thing's is bigger than we thought.
I think so.
This is the first time any journalists have been able to look under the bonnet of OneCoin and see how big it really is. Between August 2014, when the scam started, and March 2017, over 4 billion euros was invested from all over the world. And we know it's much bigger than that because the money kept coming in long after this period. Dr. Ruja didn't disappear until October that year. It could be that well over 100 million euros has been invested in OneCoin from the UK alone. Back in Sofia and at Nikolai Stoyanov's office.
These are all your journals.
We've learned something very interesting. In 3 days' time, OneCoin Romania are organising a strange event. It's the world's first cryptocurrency beauty pageant. Nikolai has been digging around for us, and he's got hold of a couple of phone numbers for us to try.
A colleague from Romania sent me two phone numbers with two organisers. Christy Kalina, or whatever was his name.
What, he's running it?
It's like a local OneCoin, what they call IMA, independent affiliate. Yeah.
OneCoin is actually two connected organisations. There is OneCoin, which is the office we saw earlier, that creates and still maintains the OneCoins that are in people's accounts, runs the website, sets the price. Then there are independent marketing associates, the IMAs. They aren't directly employed by the OneCoin office in Sofia. They are part of something called the One Life Network. The IMAs, like Christy Kalina, promote OneCoin and make commission selling packages to investors around the world.
Do you think the event's actually going to take place?
No, it seems highly suspicious. I spoke to a colleague in Romania and he called the venue and they said they don't know anything about such event and it's coming in 3 days. So basically, you should consider yourself whether it's worth the time, because there's a high probability there will be nothing there.
I know, but I love beauty pageants.
You do? For me, it's highly suspicious that you will just waste your time.
Oh yeah, don't use a public Wi-Fi.
No, I'm not. I'm just on 4G.
Oh yeah.
Despite Nikolai's scepticism, Georgia and I decide we need to try to get into this OneCoin One Life event.
According to their official website, there's going to be 400 people there, representatives from all the major media outlets. And they hope to reach an audience of between 20 and 50 million.
Okay, so they should be really happy.
This could be our only chance to get to an actual OneCoin event and see it from the inside.
User busy. Okay.
So we try to contact the organiser in Romania, okay, Christy Kalina.
I'm trying again straight away. I've got no patience. Wow, here we go. Come on. Hi, is that Christy? Hi, Christy.
The BBC has strict privacy policies, so we can't actually play you his voice.
Organising a beauty pageant.
But it's good news. Christy Kalina tells me that we can come to the event in Bucharest. We just need to email or call him back to confirm.
Thank you very much. Bye. Okay. Well, then maybe it's going to work. Maybe we're on.
Is anyone going to answer?
Over the next 2 days, we try calling Christy.
You can send a text message?
Yeah.
Who hasn't replied to our email over and over again.
Lucky. Yeah, let's try again.
I've got a feeling this isn't going to get us anywhere, but let's give it a go.
Please try again later.
So annoying.
We don't hear back from Christy Kalina. We're starting to build up a picture of OneCoin. A fake cryptocurrency spreads across the world like wildfire, luring in people like Jen, who thought they were buying into the next big thing. Dr. Ruja confused people with exciting technology and created a quasi-religious belief in her coin and her vision. We also now know roughly how big it is. But we don't know where the money is, how OneCoin really works on the inside, or who else might be involved. And we're no closer to finding Dr. Ruja. So we make a decision.
So it's 7:45 in the morning, just woken up. We're going to Bucharest.
We're heading for the world's first cryptocurrency beauty pageant, and more importantly, our first OneCoin event.
We don't know if there's going to be anything there. We don't know if there's going to be a beauty pageant or not. Well, we're just going to go there and I suppose we're going to see what's happening and just keep our fingers crossed. So let's see what we find.
Next time.
So very loud. Champagne's being popped. We didn't think it was going to happen. It's really quite a show. It's a spectacle.
What's her name?
Ruja.
I think I might have heard something that someone was there and like the whole organiser of everything.
Over the next 5 episodes, we're inviting you to contact us with any information that might be valuable. CryptoQueen@bbc.co.uk.
I'm Luke and I'm live in Australia.
We're already getting emails and calls from all over the world, from people whose family and friends have invested.
Now, they've got their heart and soul invested in this. The point that they've registered OneCoin number plate on their car. I think they've bought into a vision, a dream, and they feel like it's part of something bigger. That's why they defend it with even sort of cult-like passion. They convince themselves it's real without any reputable proof and write off my concerns on the basis that there's a conspiracy by governments to shut it down. The FBI was set up to defend the US dollar. They have this concern that it's spreading.
The service you called has cleared. The service you called has cleared.
To the allegation that OneCoin is not a cryptocurrency, OneCoin replied, OneCoin verifiably fulfills all criteria of the definition of a cryptocurrency. Its value is confirmed and reflects the constant worldwide trading activities such as the DealShaker platform, one of the major global trading platforms, and elsewhere. Trading, OneCoin says, is slowed down by authorities, regulators, and haters. We have asked OneCoin for further proof or evidence against any of our claims. And if we get any proof, we'll include it later in the series. The Missing Crypto Queen is a BBC Radio Documentaries production for BBC Sounds.
BBC Propaganda by Jamie Bartlett.
Well, hang on. Don't forget Georgia Catt. She's the co-writer and the producer. The story consultant is Chris Berube, and Philip Sellers is the editor. Sound design and music is from the talented Phil Channel, and we're delighted to say that some of the music you've been hearing has been especially composed and performed by Desislava Stefanova and the London Bulgarian Choir. Not this bit, though. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in this programme, help is available at bbc.co.uk/actionline.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, Pepper.
Hello.
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 We could do this forever.
I know we could.
Robots are starting to provide education, care, and even affection.
I love you.
As the world transforms, we're asking, will human contact become a luxury?
The Beyond Today podcast. One big question about one big story every day.
Listen now on BBC Sounds.
Upwork has the world's largest network of independent professionals. Let me just close this real quick. So if you need a back-end developer, a UI designer, or a project manager for 6 days or 6 months, Upwork is how.
Hey, I have this room booked at noon.
I'm just wrapping up here. Upwork professionals have the flexibility and capability to work from anywhere.
Yeah, it's 1201.
Okay, it's all yours. Which is nice if you're already low on conference rooms. Plus, they're proven, rated, and reviewed. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how.